Podcasting from the top of the rocks. This is News on the Rocks with Patty Steele.
Well,
this is a thrill for me. I mean, radio power couple that you two are.
Well, I am delighted to have you here. Now, here's the portion of News on the Rocks where normally we tip a few back because, hey, it's News on the Rocks and everybody wants to, like, relax a little bit. But it's, I realize a little early, some folks are like, happy to swig up at 10 o'clock. Some folks aren't.
This is not me.
And I get that. And you know, it's interesting because over the years I've had a few people who say no thanks, and then I have a few people you totally would not expect to say no thank you. I mean, to say thank you, I'll take it, or no thank you. it depends on the guest. And you're amazed. I had a guy on at one point who was a former, NYPD detective in homicide and drugs. He then did a couple of tours in Afghanistan where he sort of was inside with Al-Qaeda. He was so nervous to do the podcast. He said, I understand that I can drink? And I went, oh, absolutely. What do you want to drink? And he said, if you could see the guy, he's like this big bouncer guy, big beard, you know, bald hair and bald head. And he came in and he was nervous, but he said, okay, if you bring some really good red Italian wine, I'll bring my world famous meatballs. And I went, done. He came in, few sips.
Great.
He told the most amazing stories and he got very emotional telling them, you know, because he'd been through so much between years with the NYPD, including during 9/11, and then going over to Afghanistan for several tours, and the kinds of things he saw and did there was really interesting. So this time, we are going to attempt to do it alcohol-free. So news not on the rocks today.
Sorry to let you down.
No, you didn't let me down at all.
Okay.
I do have it occasionally, and I'm absolutely delighted. We're talking today to Gary C.
Right.
You know what? It's so funny because when I sort of read up on you, I went, holy shit, this guy is a Renaissance man. Because you really are.
Well,
between radio,
yeah.
You're an author. You have a book called Classic Rock.
That's right.
And my very favorite thing is that you are a guy that creates puzzles for everything from the New York Times, the LA Times, I think the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, I was just in the Journal on Monday.
Yeah, all over the place. And I thought, wow, like how did you get into that? Did you grow up doing puzzles or was that a...
You know, we all did the TV Guide crossword puzzle, right? And my mom did it first.
Yeah.
So it was always tough to...
Well, TV Guide is a little different than the New York Times.
Yeah, but that's where a lot of folks started, you know, with the TV Guide crossword puzzle.
Sure.
And then my friend of mine, Wendy, we were on our way to a Broadway show, and she whipped out some puzzles in her purse, and I started doing them, and then I started buying the Times back in...
Because of the puzzles?
Yes, because of the puzzle. You know about...
Not the articles.
Will Shortz will tell you that about 2 to 3% of that circulation of Times readers buy for the puzzle.
And Will Shortz, of course, is the...
the editor.
He's the editor. He also does tons of Sudoku, which is the kind of puzzle I am devoted to, only because I get very, very frustrated with myself when it comes to crossword puzzles. I do them. I still do them. But I don't know if it's because of the way my brain works, but I feel very stupid when I do crossword puzzles. Why is that? What do you think happens?
I don't know. You got to start Monday. Remember, it starts easy on Monday, and it gets increasingly difficult as the week progresses. And Thursday is really the tough day where there could be a gimmick to the puzzle. Could be a rebus puzzle, Patty, where there might be a whole word you have to put into a box. You got to figure that out on your own.
Oh, wow.
And then Friday and Saturday, there's no theme. Those are themeless puzzles. So you get longer words, and the vocabulary becomes even more lively than usual. And Sunday's the big job, 21 by 21.
Right.
But I just started sending in puzzles to Will Shortz. I started on a loose-leaf paper with no computer software.
Just scribbling them out.
And I mailed it in, and 4 months later, I got a response. Well, stick with it.
Yeah.
And I stuck with it, and I got turned down about 10 times before I finally got an acceptance. And you get to know him and what he likes, and Mike Shank at the Journal. Journal and Rich Norris in Los Angeles and
right.
Stanley Newman in Long Island. He has the Newsday puzzle.
Right.
And you sort of learn what the editors are looking for after a while. And I love doing it. I'm obsessed.
I'm sure
with,
you do.
I'm obsessed with it. I'm always working on one, you know?
It's interesting to me because, like, when I take a look at a puzzle, crossword, see, a Sudoku puzzle, you look at it and it's numbers and you can kind of figure out the pattern and you fill it in. You look at a difficult crossword puzzle and you're going, I feel like I read history endlessly. I do that more than I do anything else. And yet there'll be questions about, obscure 14th century Asian individual, and I just set it back down on the table and I walk away because I was wondering, when you create this stuff, do you know all this stuff ahead of time, or do you start to fill it in and think, okay, I got to find some way to fill in this line?
Well, the constructors will tell you, any constructor knows, it's all about the idea, the theme. That's what you have to come up with.
So each puzzle sort of has a theme?
Monday through Thursday,
okay.
And themes can be simple or they could be a little bit more intricate.
Mm-hmm.
Then you lay that theme in.
Uh-huh.
And then you build your grid around the theme.
Right.
And you got to remember that, well, no word ends with the letter J. And words usually end in E, R, T, S. And
right.
These are the letters that appear, more often than Ks and Xs and Zs and Qs. And
right.
And that's how you lay out your grid. And then the computer, from there, you have a database of words.
Ah.
It's called the Gary list that I used. It's 600,000 different words and names and phrases. I really don't want to use the compass points. I don't like the NNW stuff. I don't prefixes and suffixes. I don't really like those. You don't want to do many abbreviations. You want words. You want words in a puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And then you use the computer and you start with what's going to be most challenging.
Mm-hmm.
I like to do it as how you tune a snare drum. You start in the middle and then you do both corners, because if you get into a corner and you can't fill it correctly without putting in the currency for Cambodia, which nobody knows, then you gotta walk it back,
right.
But you do rely on the computer these days. How these men and women who did it before the computer age, that's really a crazy talent.
Giant dictionaries and probably the encyclopedias
and
that kind of thing, which would take a tremendous amount of work. So,
but the computer does the hard part. But I got to tell you, a good constructor really doesn't put something in the puzzle that she or he is unfamiliar with.
So you choose the theme then?
Oh, yeah. I got to come up with the themes,
Okay. I wasn't sure if they told you.
No,
theme we want. So.
No, you got to come up with the theme. That's what they're buying,
What kind of themes do you like? What do you do?
Well, I like, I did a rock and roll roadway puzzle, right?
Of course.
Where the answers were Thunder Road and Penny Lane and Electric Avenue. And I clued it as to, the clue would be, where all the people that come and go stop and say hello, per the Beatles.
Yeah.
Or, Where Are We Gonna Rock Down To, per Eddie Grant.
Right.
So that was a rock and roll roadway puzzle.
Right.
And that one got accepted. And that one, there are blogs too, and a lot of people.
I know there are.
Yeah.
Get feedback?
Oh, yeah, you get the feedback.
And do they go after you as much
sometimes
as they
do? Sometimes they do, and sometimes they're very nice.
Right.
But there are a few of these blogs. And
I was looking at one, Diary of a Crossword Fiend.
Yeah, that's Amy's blog, and she covers a few of the papers. We are living really in the golden age of crosswords. There are so many young people now, Patty. They just keep getting into it. Will Shorts gets 125 submissions a week.
Wow.
And he's got 7 slots.
Wow.
So that's a lot of people trying to get in. So
that
you
is.
Really got to be, good. And you got to know what he's looking for.
It's interesting. During this whole pandemic thing, I think a lot of people were looking for ways. There were jigsaw puzzles, crossword puzzles. A lot of people looking for ways to kind of fill their time that gave them a break from Netflix or cooking. Ugh, too much cooking. And I think that was one of the things that a lot of people really turned on to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of constructors had a lot of free time,
Right.
So I imagine he's getting more submissions than usual.
And you find that, so you say a younger generation
is into it. Yeah, there are constructors as young as 14, 15 who are making these things.
It's really...
And that puzzle's been in there since 1950 on a daily basis. And I'm a fan of old New York. I love old New York,
yeah,
you know?
I got a ton of books about old New York. Yeah.
And just to know that you can buy that paper today and open up the art section, and there it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you do puzzles in addition to it?
I really don't do them that much anymore. They're kind of hard.
I'd rather
just make them. I have more fun making them. But the thrill is knowing that, Patty, there are 600,000 subscribers to the New York Times crossword puzzle app. Now, that's a lot of people.
Wow, just to the app of...
Just to the puzzle app.
Holy, that's amazing.
When you subscribe to the New York Times, you don't get the puzzle.
Right.
That's another app. And that's a lot of revenue coming in.
Wow.
And the base fee is $40 a year.
Wow.
So that's why I'll be honest. When I started doing the puzzles, they were paying $200 for a puzzle.
Right.
Now it's $750.
You're kidding.
It has gone up.
Oh, my Lord. I'm going to start putting together a puzzle.
It has gone up that much.
That's really interesting.
The thrill for me is just knowing that Bill Clinton gets in the car in Chappaqua.
Right.
And he says he reads the front page, he reads the international section, and then it's off to the puzzle. Every day.
Yeah.
And just to know that Clinton's doing it, and the Indigo Girls are doing it, and Jon Stewart's doing it. And there's a great documentary called Wordplay, if you really want to know more about crossword puzzles.
And where can you get that?
That came out about 10 or 12 years ago. I guess you can buy it on DVD.
Yeah. It's probably somewhere online.
Yeah, I guess you can stream it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what fascinates me, is that the people on the other end, on that day, when the days that my puzzle are in the New York Times, I'm on cloud nine all day.
Yeah, you're a celebrity
that day.
So do you do any other kinds of puzzles? Or is there anything that you do?
I do jigsaw puzzles with my nieces and nephews.
Right.
But no, I'm not a Ken or a Sudoku.
My God. I was going to ask you about that, because this is the New York Times Magazine.
Right.
And I'm always... So there's a
cryptics.
What does that mean? Is that a tough one?
It's a different layout. You see how the grid is so different there?
Yeah.
I just don't know too much about that. I'm just strictly crosswords.
I don't even get the clues. Rotates misshapen stone used as a key. Keystone?
No clue.
I don't know. But it rotates it, so who knows what... Yeah, and then you have spelling bee, you have vowel-minded triple treasure, which is...
Yeah, but you see how many puzzles are in there now? How many people love puzzles? That keeps expanding.
But it all goes back to the crossword.
And expanding.
Yeah.
Yeah, the crossword's the king of them all, I guess.
So it's interesting because, I mean, I know you're a radio guy. You worked for iHeart.
I did, yeah.
I know people who you worked with at WLIR. Legendary radio station. You were the boss there back in the, started in 98?
Past the golden age, after Dennis McNamara and Larry. I brought back Larry.
Yeah.
But I worked with Malibu Sue and Donna. Those were great times.
Yeah.
I went to work for them in the 90s. A guy named Tom Calderon brought me on.
Oh, sure.
And the late John Lascalzo I worked with. And then I became the program director. And boy, those were different times,
because to become a boss.
Ben Berkman could walk into my office with the new Maroon 5 song and play it. And I put it right on the air, and he would call Clive and go, "Hey, he's playing it. He's playing it." I said, "Well, this is kind of good." And those days are kind of gone.
Yeah. Everything is so
corporate. It's different
now. Yeah. It's a weird business. I mean, I still love it because at the end of the day, if you got an outlet to tell a story, whether it's a podcast or you're on air somewhere, you do the very best you can. But it's understandable. It's become big, big, big business and had its share of ups and downs along the way. So is it something you want to still
They can't kill my love for the radio, right?
Yeah,
they just can't.
Me either.
And there are a lot of people who still listen to the radio, and they will keep listening in their trucks and in their cars. And it's not going away. It's not.
I think it's because, here's the thing. We live in a time when we're kind of disconnected. Forget the pandemic. Previous to the pandemic, we're kind of disconnected from one another. In our parents' generation, you knew all the neighbors around you. You got together. You did stuff together. Kids played outside. And we live in such isolation that I think even the current situation with the pandemic, the isolation is just an amped up form of how we were living. And the thing about radio, and I always tell people this because I did TV for a little while, and my sense of it was You always feel like you're on the inside looking out, telling people what's happening. Whereas with radio, you're there with the listener. You got your arm around each other and you're like,
that's
look
right.
at this. How weird is this? Look at what we're, you know, what we're observing at this moment. And it's more of a, much more of a storytelling medium, I think.
Well, great radio stations have a heart and soul.
Exactly.
They mirror the community and they represent the community.
And, some, and people feel like they know you.
Yeah.
In a way that it's a little hard to feel that way about
that.
these perfect people on the screen, you know? I guess at their best, some of the, there are TV people who manage to have that intimacy, but, you know, there's nothing like sound. Nothing like sound. And so you were, you see, you were riding in a car when suddenly you just started doing. Would you reach in her purse and take?
I was
out
taking the train, and
okay.
And my friend Wendy whips out crossword puzzles like they're breath mints,
right.
And says, "Would you like one?"
Like,
I said, "Yeah, sure."
You need two.
And she had her pencils with her, and I started doing. I go, "Well, this is fun."
Yeah.
And then I just started buying the Times for the crossword puzzle, and after a while, I said, "Well, maybe I could do this.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the words by Gary C. in the New York Times." And as I said, it was a lot of no's and rejections. And then,
how long ago did you start doing this?
2007.
Okay, so
it's
13
been about
years
13
ago.
13 years.
Yeah.
So I've had 40 in the Times, and I enjoyed
40 in the Times.
40 in the Times, and I enjoyed doing it for the Wall Street Journal as well.
They're one of their go. Well, my two newspaper subscriptions are Wall Street Journal and New York Times.
There you go, a couple of little papers there.
Yeah, no, they're wonderful. They're wonderful. It's so interesting to me because, you know, usually people sort of devote themselves to one thing, that what they do is what they do, and you've written books. You know, you started in on this. What kind of a mind do you have that takes you off in those different directions? And do you think it's a good thing?
Has a curious it mind. I'm really curious.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always watching TV shows. I'm stuck right now on the Great British Baking Show.
Oh, isn't that the best?
That is so well done.
It is so great.
And I loved Hollywood, and I love Killing Eve.
Yeah,
I love
yeah.
that Killing Eve show.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
I'm just curious about international things.
Yeah.
And I want to stay young.
Yeah. Well, that's curiosity.
Yeah.
That's really what it's about. I mean, don't you know, like, I'm sure you've worked with people who just seem like, okay, I know what I know, what I know. I'm going by the playbook, and it's not going to change because this is what has led me to success. And you realize that, man, at some point, you get further and further away from where that playbook was legitimate and meaningful. And if you can't adjust the playbook, if you can't be curious, if you can't take, you know, a young, fresh mind, or conversely, if a young, fresh mind can't take an older mind and say, wow, what do I have to learn here?
Yeah.
Then what's the point? What are we talking about?
Keeps the brain moving, you know?
Yeah.
People will tell you that it keeps Alzheimer's at bay. It really does. For a lot of older folks.
Yeah.
The vocabulary and what we call the puzzle verse is always expanding. Yesterday, the phrase rage quit was in the puzzle.
Like, oh, rage.
Now, what's that? Rage quit. Rage quit is when you quit a video game.
Right.
And you get fed up with it. I had never heard of that phrase
before.
Oh,
yeah. That, now that I think about it, I rage quit a lot. I just didn't know what it was.
This is a new phrase to me. The term woke. You've heard that, right?
Yes,
woke,
of course,
and that's, that's in the puzzle often lately.
Yeah. So do the words in the puzzle have to be words that are accepted by, like, Oxford Dictionary or one of the big dictionary websites?
Well, they should be in regular conversation, you know? Oscar buzz and steady aim. And I just submitted a puzzle that's got cyber war and cash grab in it. Now, those two words have
This is a hint. So if we get the puzzle, we know they're in there.
Cash grab has not been in the puzzle, but it's lively vocabulary.
Right.
And also... we're done. And I clued it as, I won't be back. And the answer is, we're done. You know, and that's what Will looks for, lively vocabulary. You know, you could put the word reasserters. Now, that's a word, right?
Right.
And it's great. R-E-A-S-T. I mean, that'll save you 9 out of 10 times. But it's a boring word, reasserters. You
right.
know?
You want something that's that
and also, Patty,
a sparkle.
What's interesting is that it is tougher to do the early week puzzles than the Wednesdays or Thursdays because you really can't put the currency for Libya
right
in a Monday puzzle. You can't
right.
put... And you have to
honestly,
pass,
you could barely put it in a Thursday.
Yeah, right.
And you have to pass what's called the breakfast test. Mm-hmm. You can't put, you know, anal. You got to watch these things.
Oh, yeah.
Diseases.
Yeah.
You got to watch that. And rectum, you know, grandma's not going to want to see rectum at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday. So sometimes that'll save you, you
right,
know,
right.
But you go, no, I can't do that.
Interesting. Interesting.
It's very interesting.
So do you get ideas like you're watching TV?
Oh, yeah.
And you hear somebody say something. On,
exactly.
Yeah.
And you always look for 15 letter phrases, right? I'm like, I was eating raspberry sorbet the other day.
Raspberry sorbet.
Raspberry sorbet. Let's see. Raspberry's got 9. Sorbet has 6. 9 plus 6 is 15. That would span the puzzle.
Perfect.
Has it been in the puzzle before? I go and I find out. No, it hasn't. So I add it to my database. And while I'm putting raspberry sorbet in, why don't I put mango sorbet in as well? Because those are my two favorites.
Right.
And I find out that mango sorbet has never been on the puzzle. So you want to introduce words. You want people to say, oh, I've never seen that in the puzzle.
But I love it. I eat it. So why not put it in there?
I was the first guy to put DVR in a puzzle. You know, that's been used about 12 or 15 times.
That's interesting.
I also like to, here's another thing I like to do. I'd like to put the names of men and women who are on network TV shows, new shows in the morning.
Uh-huh.
I put Nora O'Donnell.
Yeah.
In the puzzle.
Right, when she was doing mornings.
At the time, she was on MSNBC. She was on Morning Joe.
Okay.
So I tune on Morning. She goes in a puzzle. I tune on Morning Joe at 6 a.m. Nora O'Donnell in Washington. Oh, good. She's got to be on the show.
Yeah.
So she starts interviewing some Secretary of State or something, and
right.
she asks a question. And the guy says, wait a minute. Before I answer the question, did you know that you're in the New York Times crossword puzzle today? She goes, I love it. I love it. And she's really cool. And she says, you know,
funny.
Let me tell you something. Every text, every email, every phone call today is going to be, did you know that you're in the New York Times crossword puzzle? I put Mika Brzezinski. I was the first to put M-I-
Oh, that's a tough one with the letters.
Well, Brzezinski, no, but M-I-K-A, you know? And I was
right.
the first to put that in, and I just didn't tune in that morning. But they usually talk about it because they, you know, they have the papers all over the
sure
desk
I love
there.
It.
And people, like Paul Sorvino, he used to say, boy, you're not anything until you're in the puzzle. You know, you just, that's when people know that they made it. I met Katie Turr. She's on MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
T-U-R, that's kind of easy, you know?
Right.
And I interviewed her for the podcast I had for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to get T-U-R.
Trying to figure out a way to get it in.
And I just haven't been able to do it. I put Ali Velshi in, A-L-I. He's an MSNBC guy.
Okay.
And I gave him the heads up because I had Katie's email address, so I figured the same pattern would work with Ali, and it did.
Right.
And they're thrilled. People are thrilled when their name appears. And we need a new Ali because we've had a lot of Muhammad Ali's.
Right.
You know,
right.
And we need a new A-L-I. And I was either the first, I think was the first to put him in, and it just, they get so thrilled. And Katie's parents do it every day. So
I'm sure they have it framed.
Because they're news people.
I'm sure that she hasn't been in yet.
Not yet, I'm trying.
Yeah, so do it, because you know they'll frame it, and it'll hang in the bathroom or someplace.
And her parents are news people, and so I'm trying, but... That's where it goes.
Hey, I like your mask. You brought a really beautiful black and white mask.
It's a crossword mask.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, look at that.
How perfect is that? Where'd you get that?
A friend of mine got it off Facebook. A buddy of mine had it made, and he knew somebody who was making it. It's quality craftsmanship.
It's
really well made. It's got the little nose wire in it.
Oh, that's... I'm glad I brought it up, because I just, from here, I could see black and white, because we're socially distanced.
Yes.
But, how great is that?
Mm-hmm.
Is there... Can you fill it in?
No. It's already filled in.
Oh, okay. Looks like it was done by pencil.
Yeah.
You're cool. Nothing until you have done the puzzles with a pen. That's what my brother tells me, because he sees me do Sudoku, and he says... Do it with a pen and I'll be impressed.
Bill Clinton does it with a pen. And a lot of people want to know, is it okay to Google? Is it all right to cheat a little bit? And Will Short says, it's your puzzle. You do whatever you want.
Yeah, you've got to answer to yourself.
you're presented with a grid with blank boxes, and your challenge is to fill them in. You've got 3 opportunities. You've got the across clues, you've got the down clues, and if the theme is tight, then the theme will help you fill in those...
I think it's...
Those blocks as well.
It's kind
of... I just love doing it, Patty.
Oh, I'm sure you love... It's... But is it a different feeling to do it than it is to create it?
Absolutely.
Yeah? I mean, in what way? Because you're in control.
Yeah, you're in control. You're in the driver's seat.
You'll rage quit?
Yeah, right. Yeah, sometimes I just rage quit with crosswords.
Yeah.
But I can do Monday and Tuesday. Uh-huh. But Wednesdays can be...
That's really interesting. Yeah. I hadn't noticed that. It might be because toward the end of the week when things begin to, you know, get a little more manageable for me is when I always seem to open it up and take a look and then put it down.
Yeah, those Thursdays are tough.
You can see. I mean, this
Friday
is a
and Saturday is tough
New
as
York
well.
Times magazine with puzzles, and none of them are filled in because those I don't exactly understand, or they freak me out. And and this is a different kind of a crossword puzzle, but,
yeah.
You know, hey.
Constructors also aspire to construct for the cycle, which means you get one in for every day of the week. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to go for the cycle. You want to get one in on Saturday, Sunday, Thursday, and I've gone for the cycle. Now I'm going for the double cycle. So I need another Sunday, and I need another
this is all
Saturday.
Inside stuff.
Well, I figure my listeners might be interested in.
Are they?
Do
you have some kind of a brotherhood of crossword creators? Or
well, you know, there's Facebook groups. Mm-hmm. There's people who I've come to know through Facebook.
Sure.
You know, and there's a annual convention. There's the American Crossword Puzzle Tournament.
Really?
In Stamford, Connecticut.
Is it like totally nerdy, or is it cool?
It's a lot of, you know, hey, you got five across over there? And, yeah, there's...
What do you do with something like that? You just, like, share words?
Yeah, you just talk about, hey, how about just that three down the other day? You know, I just... But it's interesting people, and it's not just eggheads, too.
Yeah,
it's people from all walks of life.
I come from a family of eggheads, honestly. My two brothers are both very, very... educated, smart guys, and you gotta love them. There's something really fun about the group text messages with those guys. I sometimes just have to read and not respond because the conversation flies back and forth, and it's so filled with so many. And I'm fairly educated, and I'm a big reader, big history person, but you keep up with people like that. Sometimes it's just great to just listen and hear, you know, amazing stuff. I've done that. I've had a couple of interesting Zoom cocktail parties during all of this with really crazily educated people. And it's, again, it's that thing where you have to have enough confidence to know when to shut up and just listen. Because, boy, you can learn an awful lot from people like that. So I bet it's kind of fun.
It is. They're interesting people, you know, who make these things.
And where do you guys get together? Do you like,
well, we get together virtually.
Usually, too?
I don't really socialize. Well, I'll tell you who I have met is, you know, Jerry Orbach, Toaster Broadway.
Yeah.
His son, Tony, lives in New Jersey. In fact, he's not far from here.
Okay.
And Tony and I were corresponding, and we decided to have lunch at Chengdu 23,
mm-hmm.
which is a great authentic Chinese restaurant.
Right.
In Wayne, I think.
Yes, it is. I used to go there.
Oh, it's delicious.
It's not still open, I don't think, is it?
Probably not during the pandemic.
No, but it was open. Is it still?
Yeah,
oh, okay, good.
So I'm looking at pictures of Tony. I'm saying, boy, he looks, wait a minute, this is Jerry Orbach's son. And I didn't know that until I arrived at the restaurant.
Oh, how funny is that?
And he's
a crossword guy?
Yeah, he makes crosswords. And boy, he's got great stories to tell about when his father was in Promises and running around the Broadway theater. His father was into Fantastics, you know?
Yeah, sure.
I didn't know that, Tony. And we had a great lunch. We're going to get together again.
Does he create crosswords based on those kind of things?
No, he writes all sorts of crosswords.
So he does all kinds
he's
of things.
He's in the construction business as well, and he plays saxophone.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, that's kind of people I meet.
So how interesting is that?
Yeah.
Construction, saxophone, his dad's a Broadway guy.
Yeah.
You're a writer, radio guy, crossword puzzle guy. Is that what you find, that there are a lot of people who are
because you can't make money just doing it.
Right.
You know,
right.
The editors certainly do. They make money off it.
Will Shorts has so many books out.
And Will's got books, and he's got a staff there, and that's his full-time gig.
Right.
But for so many of the people who make it, it's what we call a side hustle, you know?
You could use that. That's a good one.
I think I'm trying to. It's awfully fun.
Yeah.
It's awfully fun.
Wow. Well, you are fascinating on so many levels, and I think at some point we have to get you to come back, and we'll talk a little more about about the music side of your life, because I also had someone told me that you also used to sing country music.
Oh, who told you that?
Little Bird. Little Bird. Not the guy that introduced you to me here today, but
yeah, well,
somebody
I had a country
else.
Act played the Chance in Poughkeepsie. You know, opened up for a guy named Pat Green, I think his name was.
Wow.
That was fun. I've also written a ton of songs, and I got a band together and played around the Hudson Valley. My name was Slim. Slim Deal. And
Slim what?
Slim Deal was my friend.
Slim Deal?
Slim Deal in a Harvest Band.
Oh.
And but then I said, Gary, you still want to keep doing this? I said, you want to keep playing out? I was the PD of WPDH at the time,
right,
up in
right.
Hudson Valley.
Right.
And I said, it was fun for a while, but that
right.
was many years ago.
How funny is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I love writing, you know? I really
yeah.
do.
Well, you have a very open mind, which I guess is why the puzzle thing comes into play, because
yeah.
you do have an open mind. So you have all kinds of different avenues of interest in that.
Listen, all sorts of music.
And that's helpful.
It certainly is.
You do have to. I mean, it's like speaking a foreign language. You kind of have to. You have to open up your mind to be able to give a different name to something, whether it's a, you know, some glasses or something like that. And it's the same thing with these kinds of things.
Yeah.
Your mind has to be open to new avenues of communication.
You want your puzzle to be, you know, people tell me that on Sundays the family passes it around.
Yeah, yeah.
And Grandpa knows all about Gershwin and Sinatra. And
so
Bing
he can
Crosby.
Fill in that part.
Right, and then the brother knows about Smashing Pumpkins and
right.
Nirvana. And that's great. Great when you hit all sorts of
yeah
through the
yeah.
decades. You don't want your puzzle to be
yeah.
too old or too hip,
right?
You know, you want
yeah,
you
no,
want,
exactly.
That's tough sometimes to do. Sometimes you just you're thrilled to make. Oh, look, Shakira fits in here. You know, oh, I'm gonna go with Shakira. You know, but
right.
I don't know if as many people are gonna know the Replacements or Paul Westerberg or something like that. Yeah, that's not gonna work.
I know Replacements don't know Paul Westerberg. So. Well, you're a delight, and this has been a really fun conversation, and we do have to have
right,
you
Patty.
Back sometime.
Thank you so much, Patty.
Thank
what
you.
A thrill.
It was a blast. Thank
Thanks.
You.